Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here was our assignment from yesterday. Our language has wisely sensed the two sides of being alone. It has created the word loneliness to express the pain of being alone, and it has created the word solitude to express the glory of being alone. We've been talking a lot in practice lately about everything can happen from one of two places, ego or life. This quote is a perfect illustration of that. When identified with ego, alone feels lonely. We're separate, isolated, possibly feeling cut off from the rest of humanity, abandoned. This, of course, is a conversation in the head. When present, we experience being alone as being in solitude with oneself and with life. We know it's not possible to be separate from life and therefore not possible to be separate from other people or anything else. We enjoy the quiet and stillness that solitude can offer because it brings us an opportunity to be more present. Today, find some of that solitude for yourself and not inviting in the voices of ego, enjoy an opportunity to be still and quiet with life and with life's expression, you. Record and listen.
Lovely.
All right, shall we hear from our first caller?
Yes, please.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan in Florida.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan. Hello, happy holidays.
And to you.
Thank you. Well, I recorded and listened some yesterday about this, and yet I think what I did was experience loneliness at a social event last night. as I was going there, someone told me something that upset me a great deal. Plus, there was anger that they would tell me something like this on the way to a social event. And while, you know, I was with people, I felt lonely. I felt disconnected. That was going through my mind. And then I saw ego trying to connect with people, but it was through what they thought, it just wasn't a way of connecting with people.
Right. Just made you feel more lonely.
Absolutely, because I was so disconnected. Yeah. And so when I got home, I just went to bed and didn't even record and listen, but got up woke up early, and so I recorded and listened because I knew that I needed to do that. And somebody was telling them how hurt they were and all these other things and expressing anger. And I was, then the mentor was, go ahead.
Well, so what you're describing, I hope, is a two-handed recording, right? Not
yes.
just...
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
not just, yeah, okay, good, good. Yeah. And then the mentor?
Then the mentor, it was hard. I have to say, it felt hard to get in touch with the mentor. And so the mentor, was saying, I understand, it's going to be okay.
Well, Susan, here's the thing. Ego was making a stand, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because if you could have a situation like that, and you come back and you record about it, get in touch with the person who got upset, the part of you that got upset, and then listen to the mentor and realize, hey, people are unconscious. We all say things that... And that stuff happens, and the legitimate you, this is where it gets really tricky, but the legitimate you would go, yeah, that's true. You know, God knows I've said some unfortunate things to people at unfortunate times. Yeah, that does happen. Okay, yeah, I get that, and would feel better. But ego is going to make a stand, because if that could happen for you, picture the freedom that there is. If nothing that anybody says or does is able to derail you from unconditional love, ego is in a world of hurt. So I'm not surprised that it was really difficult for you to get in touch with a mentor. The part I want to underline is that you did the practice. That's the important part in all of this, that you realized what was going on. I just as a little aside, that was a huge turning point in my own practice. I had gone on a retreat. It was like an 8-day retreat or something like that. And the group of people there talked us into doing something that wouldn't have to have been social, but turned out to be. Mm. And I had that exact experience that you're describing. I went from feeling absolutely connected to life, just, you know, completely lit up, to feeling so lonely. And it was the first time I got that loneliness is the product of ego identification. So as soon as ego comes in to do its social thing, we're lost. Right? And it's not that you can't be with other people from a centered place. We certainly can. But that's ego's milieu, right? Ego is we could say, a product of socialization. That's where it got its big traction. And so I think that's a critical process to be aware of. And the important piece of all of this is that you did your best to practice through it.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm sorry, I'm going to get upset.
Okay. We don't mind upset. We're here on a retreat where we're looking at strong emotion. We're fine with upset.
Okay. Oh, I wish I was there. I am there in spirit.
That's right. Well, we wish you were there in body, but hey, next time.
But when I got home and I went right to bed, I could feel, I knew what I need. I knew I needed to practice. It was like, okay, there was the urge to practice, and it was like, no way.
No way. Just
but
a wall of no.
And then when I woke up this morning, it was a little calm or whatever. So I went and grabbed the phone and was able to do it. But so I have to say, too, what has happened since I left the house, I didn't see this person. And so it's just been going on and on in my head. And so as I'm driving to work, I saw a woman who obviously, she looked homeless, in the rain, and she had a wheelchair, and she was pushing it, and I knew I couldn't necessarily help her get the wheelchair in, but I stopped and gave her my umbrella. I have an umbrella ministry. It always makes me feel good to give somebody an umbrella when they're in the rain and don't have one and can't get out then. And so
So going forward through the day, that's what you focus attention on.
Well, and right? That's what I'm finding.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm finding, so I gave her my umbrella and found out what she needed. Well, what was going on for her. And so I went and got her some money and came back. And we hugged, and I started crying because I felt connected again.
Yep, there you are. So that other story, this is what we do. It's like the spinach in the teeth after the party. You know that story. You just say, every time that comes up in conditioned mind, every time ego wants to talk about last night and what happened and all that, you just say, no, that never happened. And you come right back to here and feeling good about the connection. That's the practice today.
Okay.
All right.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Take good care of yourself.
Okay. You guys too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Susan.
There's the way to move from ego to connection, right? Find somebody, offer kindness, offer presence, be there, be interested in somebody besides the conditioned story in our head, and poof, here we are.
Yes. What was dropping in for me as you were having that conversation with Susan is we feel lonely when we're not connected to life. When we yes. feel lonely when we're separate. And I remember
right.
In guidance once, we were talking about how the first thing to do when we feel lonely is to get back in relationship to life.
Yes.
Because as personalities, we seldom feel connected. It's such a very...
Yeah. Go ahead. That's such an important point.
That loneliness is actually a signal that we're not at center, that we've lost our connection, that we are in identification. And so the first relationship we have to get back into is, or relatedness we have to get back into, is back with the intelligence that animates. And from there, we can interact with anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even though it's a rugged step when we run into that wall of no, to go to that place of thank you, this is obviously a really important gift for me because I am seeing a lot. And that kind of movement will bring us back into relationship, as you say, with life. And then from there, everything else unfolds.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Sherry, one of the interesting ways of looking at it is, how many steps away from love am I? Because if I don't feel love, that's my sense of disconnectedness. As soon as I move to the process of love, which is what Susan was talking about with that woman with the umbrella, then I'm in love, and then that's it. That's what's missing. What's absent is love.
Yes, and in case we don't run into, although life does seem to provide those opportunities for us, but just in case we don't run into a woman with a wheelchair and who needs an umbrella, we can always just turn attention to what we love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we will once again be relating to love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we hear from our next caller?
Oh, yes, please.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here.
Well, hello, Colin.
Hi, Colin.
Hello. With this assignment, when I read it, the ego sort of jumped in and started shouting about, you never get any time on your own, and, you know, a bit of a story going on about that. And I think with other people, that if I'm finding it difficult, I do want to step out and just with the voice recorder, and sometimes find that a bit frustrating not being able to do that. But anyway, having said that, I sort of was doing the assignment and found some quiet time and came back to love and all that sort of thing. But what I was noticing is I was actually crawling underneath the house this afternoon in the cellar, and I'm in solitude, aren't I now? And I hadn't realised that there were lots of times during the day actually when I am in solitude, and I hadn't sort of even noticed that, and so that only came up a couple of hours ago. But to say, oh right, now I'm in solitude, get the voice recorder out, because there are lots of different opportunities during the day that I hadn't seen where I am in solitude, and I just come back to presence then. So that was sort of quite a revelation to notice that it's not just when I go out for a walk or whatever, but there are lots of little couple of minutes here and a couple of minutes there that I can
talk to the mentor. What a really excellent point. for all of us, Colin, because that is such that's a bamboozle, right, that can get lots of content applied to it, right? So you're a recorder and listener. You're a practitioner, and then unbeknownst to you, conditioning sets it up so, well, you can do that when you're completely alone for an extended period of time, and we don't notice that standard has been applied. So at the end of the day, the voice says, well, you know, you never have any time alone. That's why you can't practice. And we're meant not to question it, not to have that insight that you had, right? And then we just go, yeah, that's really true. No walk for me today. No, and, right? And the story just continues. But what you know is, because I'm always saying to people, do you never go to the bathroom? Because, you know, nobody questions what you're doing in the bathroom. They don't. If they do, get rid of them. Okay, so and they may think whatever they think, but that is one guaranteed on your own time during the day, right? And so yeah, you're in the cellar, you're in the what you walk outside to the yard to. If we're prepared, that's where I like to use that little image of you're having an affair, right? And so you're
Yes. Taking
off every chance you get. To be with your lover, and it's amazing how many times during the day there's a minute or two to send a message.
Yeah, so just trying to snatch those moments, and then coming back, it brings me back to connection, so that when I'm back with people, I feel much more connected, and I can, you know, Be with,
because they're not keeping you from anything.
No, ego is.
Right, but I mean, when you come back to people, you're fine to be with them because you're cared for. They're not impediments to your relationship with you.
Yes, and I think ego frames it that they're the thing that's stopping me. Guessing where I'm, yeah. And it's not. It was just that thing in presence, seeing. I can't remember how it was now, but there's that connection with the whole of life, and that everything is a manifestation. Oh, I don't know. It just sort of brought me back into connection with other people in a way that I hadn't sort of seen before, really. Yeah.
And from that connection, we can see that everybody is going through the same thing that we are, and of course that's such a source of compassion.
Yes. Well, thank you for clarifying that. It's really beautiful what you said. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Enjoy yourself, huh?
All right, and you have a good retreat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. Sherry, unfortunately, I dropped off during that call, so I'm going to bring our next caller live on the air.
I just want to underline one little phrase that I just said to Colin: enjoy yourself. You know, I've always been fascinated. How was the party? Oh, I really enjoyed myself. How sudden is that? Yeah, I really enjoyed myself, and that's it. It's one of those funny expressions that says it all. When we are enjoying ourselves, and that's the capital S, right? No,
yes.
It's not possessive, and it's not personal. But when we're enjoying the self, then we're enjoying everything and everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Who you got?
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mark in Arizona.
Mark in Arizona, you are a wandering monk, aren't you?
I was actually supposed to be there with you today, but...
I know.
Yeah, so I made a promise that I would make space in September and join you in Pennsylvania.
Excellent.
So I have actually...
You know from experience, that's a lovely place, right?
Oh, absolutely. That was my first real grown-up retreat. So I actually have two things. One is, as you probably know, we've been struggling with a broken ankle here, and some of the number of issues that come up, but one of them, which is probably off point for today, is that we're really becoming quite aware of how what one puts in one's environment, what one puts in one's body, et cetera, that those things have a lot to do with how easy or more difficult it is to deal with conditioning and the kind of internal reality that can trash your day.
Uh-huh. Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. For instance, if I eat foods that are full of hot sauces, hot spices, and so forth, and I do that with some regularity, I find that it affects my ability to maintain a kind of easy emotional state. In other words, I'm more emotionally affected.
Yes.
For instance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So there are ancient religions that encourage people not to do that, including onions and garlic, right? Anything that really causes the system to get, you know, that heats everything up. If you, wow.
And I just want to bow to your, you know, when I go to retreat with you, you've made a great effort to put what's on the table in a form that allows us to have a better experience in the retreat.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Egos want to scream that we're just trying, this is some Asian torture, you know, just try to take everything pleasurable away from people and make them miserable. But that's not it, is it? When we realize body and mind are one, and to have an experience, the closest we can get to taking the kind of care of our bodies that we want to take of our minds, then it's a different lens, isn't it?
Right. Yes. And in fairness, I was a vegan for probably 25 years, so it's not that I probably have a point of view on the subject. So, but when my wife died, I ate pork. My God, it was great. I hadn't had bacon in a very long time. It was really fun for about 2 years, and then I gave it up again.
And then you said, "Oh no, I would like to live as long as I can possibly live and as healthy as I can possibly be. So maybe not. We'll leave the pigs to have their experience of that too."
Right. And as Ashwini has pointed out to me in a couple of occasions, there's already a process going on here that is leading towards a kind of enlightenment or an easier way of going about the world that I actually have very little to do with. So all I really need to do is pay attention to the fact, wow, this bacon isn't really doing much for me, because that force is happening anyway. That process is proceeding no matter what.
Which is how you got it, right? Which is how it occurred to you. Isn't that the most astounding realization? It's like, it's such a confirmation that I don't know and I don't need to. It's all happening, and I'm going to become aware of it as I become aware of it. If we let ourselves experience it as very gentle, kind, and loving.
Yeah, that quiet voice you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of segues into the... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I just... it's so gentle.
Oh, it's so sweet. Is that, you know, when... I'm one of these people in the world who suffers terribly when I'm alone for an extended period of time. And, so I struggle with that because obviously one does not want to suffer like that. And I've found that when I'm looking towards emptiness, which, if you'll remember, has kind of been my focus for many, many years, really, if I notice the emptiness that I am and the emptiness that I am, which is part of the great emptiness, you know, Tathagata, whatever, that is a way of finding myself. That's not really true. It's more like just finding peace and finding connection and finding center.
Yes.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. The difficulty, of course, as we've noticed, is we are in the beginning. We're allowed to experience that for maybe a minute,
yeah.
maybe five, and then ego comes screaming back in with, no, this is miserable, this is awful, this is horrible, you need to whatever it is, because ego doesn't exist in that state. So, yes, and to me, Mark, the really helpful piece of that is when it does occur to us that that's what's going on. So then, now, instead of identifying with ego when it comes screaming in, I can watch it come screaming in from that disidentified place. Now I'm much more eager to be alone in that experimental way, not forcing it, but as Wick Collin was talking about it, to be alone so that I can practice with it, have that experience, go deeper.
Yeah, and it really does, at least my almost physical experience of it is as if I'm dropping, and you've talked about it many, many times, dropping down. I'm actually going down into this deep well of peace and ease and beauty and whatever else, all those words.
Yes, yes, yes. And then here comes ego.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. This can't last. You're kidding yourself. This isn't.
Yeah. 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 Yes. And where's the nearest distraction? How do I distract myself until I can get a human being to distract me? Yeah. And so once we catch on to it, the relationship with it is just completely different. Now it's interesting. It's exciting. It's fun. Yeah.
Well, I hear you.
Oh, very good.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Best to both of you. And may the broken ankle be healing just as rapidly as it can.
It seems to be doing quite well. Thank you.
Good. Very good, very good.
All right.
Well, thanks, Mark.
I'll see you in the fall.
Okay, and we'll talk before that, I hope.
I certainly do, too. Thank you.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. Sherry, I don't think we have time for another caller. We're 2 minutes to the end of the show. So how about I read our assignment?
All right.
There is nothing like returning to a place that remains unchanged to find the ways in which you yourself have altered. This wisdom points out for us one of ego's most successful bamboozles. Because the conversation in the head doesn't change, it seems as if we're not changing. Perhaps you've had an experience of someone you've known over a number of years, noting how different you are, how much you've changed. This can be surprising because even if we're consciously focused on expanding awareness or waking up and ending suffering, conditioned voices in the head are droning on about the same old complaints about us. We're 98% different with a particular emotional reaction or fear of something, but as soon as we hit the 2%, the voices jump on us as if there's never been a change. Today, get up to speed with where you are currently by making some recordings that refute ego's monotonous drone about what's wrong with you. Record and listen.
What fun.
What fun.
Okay. Here we go.
Here we go.
Thank you, Ashwini.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, everybody. Go happy.